This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
America faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Hey, Terry here. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Let's count down the most insane things that happened this week. Insane thing number 7. Walmart rolling back its DEI policies. I swear there isn't a single pundit on our side who actually understands what just happened here. Obviously, Trump winning the election changed everything. Walmart saw it. But what Walmart just did was give a nod to Barack Obama's waning power to terrorize America's corporations. Here's how that worked. There's an organization called the Human Rights Campaign, and Barack Obama's former deputy campaign manager heads it. Officially, she was the chief political organizer for Barack Obama's 2008 campaign. So who is she really? Obama, terrorizing corporations. Because here's what the Human Rights Campaign did. Do you notice how almost all commercials now have people who are not white in them? There might be a cameo here and there. That didn't happen on accident. That comes as dictates of Obama and his DEI campaign of terror. Because here's how it worked. The Human Rights Campaign would assess your business. And they did this for major corporations. They would then spit out your rating. That rating, in turn, would determine whether you were bought and sold invested in by the big hedge funds and places like Vanguard, BlackRock, who are also led by like-minded liberals. Get left out of their portfolios? Ouch, that's going to be a problem, especially for your shareholders. What did they demand? Quotas. You had to hire certain percentages of minority, LGBT, transgender individuals, or else. You had to make your internal data on that available. They had to be given positions of authority, too. You also had to hire their recommendations. So this is where the liberal infiltration of these, you know, big corporations was coming from. And part of what else you had to do was deliberately market your item representatively. In other words, your commercials, any marketing stuff had to be essentially woke. This is why the commercials look so strange today. Well, there's no problem with diversity. America is a diverse place. It's still a majority white place. Yet you couldn't tell that by looking at commercials, advertisements. That's why that's happening. Obama mandated it. Well, corporations were terrified to have anything less than 100% approval rating by the Human Rights Campaign. They even demanded things like the product placement that you see inside Walmart, inside Target, which is very LGBTQ friendly, especially to children. You had to implement every woke policy the Human Rights Campaign demanded. If this sounds like a Chinese style social credit system, it's because it is for businesses. Hire the wrong people, put out the wrong policies, no investment for you. That's where this term go woke, go broke comes from, because corporations began doing bizarre things that actually hurt their bottom line, but not as much as losing investment by big, powerful hedge funds and other investment firms. Enter Roddy Starbuck, an activist on X with about 700,000 followers. Not really a lot comparatively, but more viewers than CNN has, a bigger audience than CNN has. And so he's begun to go knock on these doors and to expose what is going on inside these companies in an embarrassing way that then causes a customer backlash. One of Starbucks' first targets was Budweiser. Yes, saw how that worked. Now, critical to making this happen was a free and uncensored X to publish it all on, but it worked. Budweiser began to trend again and again and again and again for what it was doing with, you know, transgender advertising. It ultimately destroyed the brand. That then gave other corporations cover for the first time to begin to defy the Human Rights Campaign. They had an excuse now. Well, we'd love to help you be woke, but we're going to go broke. But it wasn't enough because Obama was still out there and nobody knew how this election would go. So while our side is reporting this as a victory for Starbucks and his X feed, which is excellent, it is, but it wouldn't have happened without a Trump win. Roddy Starbuck outlined the changes Walmart agreed to make, including working to remove sexual and transgender products inappropriately marketed toward children. Again, one of the key demands of the human rights campaign, and reviewing grants to Pride events to avoid further funding sexualized content targeting kids. Again, those events, another requirement of the human rights campaign, which also shakes down corporations for dollars for the Democrat Party. Meanwhile, Walmart says they're shutting down entire departments dedicated to DEI. Who are those? The demand hires of the human rights campaign. In other words, Barack Obama's minders sent into these corporations to terrorize them. Our side was quick to give Roddy Starbuck credit, and he should get it. But Starbuck is really just the excuse these corporations were giving. Look at how Ford announced it. Our side reported it, and the mainstream media reported it as, oh, Ford ditches DEI, which is diversity, equity, and inclusion, ditches forced wokeness. But what do they actually ditch? The Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index. They said they would no longer use quotas for minority dealerships, suppliers, and hires, effectively ditching DEI. So they're not just ditching DEI, as we've, our side has reported and the mainstream media has reported. No, they're ditching the human rights campaign. Again, what does this mean? It means one thing, simply, they're not afraid of Barack Obama anymore. It also means that they're not afraid of the Democrat Party anymore. Think about it. There were a million ways the Democrat Party could have retaliated, in addition to their activists being outside your headquarters, all kinds of campaigns of maybe violence. Think the violence that we saw post George Floyd toward major retailers. They could always unleash that. Never mind unleashing the SEC on you. Never mind unleashing any one of a number of federal agencies on you. I mean, it was terrifying for these big corporations. That's why they created entire departments dedicating to hire who the human rights campaign suggested. It literally was a fake factory inside these corporations, changing our culture, or at least making it appear that woke was ascendant when it really was fear that was ascendant. Well, that fear is gone now. Somewhere on Martha's Vineyard, deep inside Obama's mansion, there are screams of rage. The Democrat Party has been shown to have no clothes. They just lost the popular vote. Nobody's afraid of them right now. For corporations like Walmart, in the meantime, a Trump win means no weaponized government used against them. So they are not going to get investigations by federal agencies dedicated to finance. The DOJ will be on a chain. In other words, any way Obama had to retaliate has just been nipped in the bud. And so has Obama's power. They're reeling from this. Trust me. Insane thing number six. All of the sudden, and all Trump had to do was win. He hasn't even taken office yet. Hezbollah announces, hey, I'd love to have a peace deal with Israel. Now that I think about it, the two come together and announce it. Well, of course, Joe Biden took credit for that, but that's an absolute crock. No, it was Trump's election that brought this about. I'll tell you how in a minute. Then another incredible thing happened. Hamas said, me too. Yeah, I'd like peace. All of this shut in. Hamas so far has stubbornly refused peace, no matter what Joe Biden, Kamala Harris did. Why? Because they've been funding Hamas the whole time with your tax dollars. Wait. Terry, you're telling me we've been funding both sides of the Hamas-Israel war? Yeah. Hamas is poor. The Palestinians are poor. Gaza's poor. Where are they getting the money to stand up to Israel? Again, us. U.S. Senator Tom Cotton discovered a couple of months ago that about $1 billion in U.S. aid, and I'm putting that in air quotes, was actually funneled by a very evil person over at USAID, a woman by the name of Samantha Power, was actually funneled directly to Hamas. Here's how they did it. They asked them if, in doling out this money, if any of it was going to be used for terror. As long as Hamas said no, they handed it to them. Yeah, it was literally that stupid. So over the last year, American taxpayers have fed $1 billion to Hamas. That's obviously going to stop the second that Donald Trump walks through the door. No doubt similar fundraising schemes to transfer U.S. tax dollars to the terror group Hezbollah are going on, too. We just don't have proof of them yet. But both groups have another major funder, Iran. The Biden administration has knocked over $200 billion to Iran, including almost $20 billion in hard, cold cash. That will end the second Trump walks into the Oval Office and he reimposes the sanctions he had on Iran before. They were the toughest sanctions the U.S. has ever leveled at any country, and they brought Iran and its leadership to its knees. The people were in the streets on the verge of overthrowing the Ayatollahs because they did not have enough food. Hamas and Hezbollah know exactly what this means. Trump's election, the money's getting cut off. They won't have food, they won't have supplies, and they won't have the money to fund the effort because the anti-Semites in the Democrat Party have made sure they had all those things. It was essentially a reward by the anti-Semitic Democratic Party to Hamas for the mass murder and slaughter of October 8th. It's hard to say actually who's sicker, the Democrat Party or Hamas, honestly, since the Democrats know exactly what they were back alley funding. Whatever the case, the money's going to dry up. So what you're seeing right now with Trump's election is Hamas and Hezbollah trying to get the absolute best deal that they can with Israel on the way out the door because they're done. Their source of funding's done. Their source of weapons done. They're just literally finished. Neither side could ever have fought the way that it has were it not for the support of the Democrat Party. Meaning the whole conflagration in the Middle East, you know, it would seem like it's on fire for the last 2 years, those aren't things that just happened. Those aren't things that just happened because Joe Biden is weak. A really stupid talking point on our side, I think. No, those are things that happen because the Democrat Party funds terrorism with your tax dollars. And when it is forced to stop, the fire will go out quickly. I'll include the links about the funding at the end of this podcast. One of the other things that we saw, and I don't know if you caught it, one of the other terror groups that Iran likes to fund with the money that we gave them and the money they've been allowed to have because they don't have the sanctions on them is the Yemenis, the Houthis, who were, you know, blocking the Red Sea on a reign of terror. Do you notice what they did right after Trump was elected? I mean, 72 hours. They said they were just protecting themselves and offered to end their campaign of terror. Why? They might as well. There's no funding for it now that literally, I'm telling you, the moment Trump goes back in the White House, the sanctions are going on Iran. The Ayatollahs are in big trouble. They really are. That government is in big trouble because now the people in the streets who desperately want to overthrow them are going to be ascendant and they're going to have the backing of Donald Trump for the next 4 years. Evil is literally being defeated here simply by Trump being elected. Insane thing number five. A lot of people yowling, and I don't blame them this week, over the appointment of Jeanette Nesherwat, sort of a female version of Fauci, a real shot saleswoman, to be the Surgeon General. Basically, she got completely everything wrong about COVID, and even at one point went on Fox News to praise the censorship by Mark Zuckerberg and others of people who turned out to be right. A lot of outrage and anger on our side about her actually getting this appointment from Donald Trump. But if you look at the rest of his cabinet, that's a very powerless position. It really is. Who did Trump put in the powerful positions? But let me start with this with her. I think he had to give some kind of nod to the pharmaceutical industry because basically the rest of his administration is dedicated to punishing them and sort of destroying the precedent of COVID. So I think she was just a nod to them. She's not going to have any real power. If you want to know where the power is, look at the head of the NIH and who Donald Trump just appointed, Dr. Jay Bhattacharya. The Stanford professor, and this part is hilarious, is actually a victim of the agency he will head, the National Institutes of Health. Why? It turns out they had him censored online. They had him censored because he is the chief author of something called the Great Barrington Declaration. And what that was thousands of doctors and scientists signed it in the beginning of COVID and continued adding to it all the way through. They said social distancing was fake. It wouldn't work. They said the lockdowns were unnecessary. They wouldn't work and were overly costly. They even came out around against the shots and for natural immunity. In other words, Bhattacharya was exactly who Dr. Neshawat wanted silenced. And again, who gave the order? We would later find out in Missouri v. Biden, which is still a censorship case still pending before the Supreme Court. We would find out it was the NIH. I love this because Jay Bhattacharya will now head the NIH. Who is he effectively? He is essentially Anthony Fauci's boss. A lot of folks don't realize Anthony Fauci, they think he was the head of the CDC. He wasn't. Fauci was a mid-level functionary at the NIH, or National Institutes of Health. And his boss was a guy by the name of Francis Collins. Francis Collins is gone now. Bhattacharya is in this position. This is where we need a person to make sure that another fake pandemic doesn't take hold, basically through PR by corrupted federal health agencies. He's also the perfect guy to dig deep into the NIH and see what it actually did, including with all of those grants to Wuhan to create COVID that we know Fauci oversaw from his perch as a mid-level functionary inside the NIH. This is the guy you send in to stop further gain-of-function experiments funded by the government, like the one that led to COVID, given the engineering they've done now on the bird flu and more deadly versions of COVID. But this is exactly who should head this agency. And I think Neshawat was just cover. He nominates her first, announces her first, makes the shot salespeople happy, but then he puts his real killer in, who's Bhattacharya. I couldn't be more excited about this. And folks, this is justice for this man to head this agency that censored him ultimately for being right on COVID and for refusing to shut up, including, by the way, when the NIH and CDC were demanding that so many of you be fired for not taking what it turns out was a shot that not only didn't work, Bhattacharya got that right too, but was physically dangerous for you to take. Insane thing number four, Trump didn't waste any time at all announcing that if the caravans headed toward the U.S. border don't stop, Insta 25% tariff on all Mexican goods coming into the United States of America on January 20th. Trump's in the short term trying to close the border, but he's also trying to stop a caravan 150,000 strong that's been kept by the Mexican military down in Tapachula after Biden's Secretary of State went down there and said, listen, we got to make it look good for the election. So go ahead, head off all these illegals, keep them behind walls in a city until after the election. Then you can let them stream up here because we still want them to come here and vote Democrat in the future. So down in Tapachula, the Mexican military has kept that city surrounded, including roadblocks, hemming in somewhere between 150,000 and 500,000 illegal immigrants, as reported by the UK Daily Mail. So Trump's first order of business is he's got to stop that, but he's also got to stop the caravans from coming up over the border. And he's got to stop the fentanyl. It's ridiculous. 200 people in America a day are dying of fentanyl, somewhere between 60 and 73,000 a year. He also threatened a 10% tariff on all Chinese goods coming into America. That's really powerful if the fentanyl trade at the border doesn't stop. What Trump knows is this. 90% of the fentanyl that comes into the U.S. comes out of manufacturing facilities in Mexico run by the Sinaloa campaign. That's according to the U.S. Border Patrol. China supplies the chemicals. Sinaloa manufactures them, and over the border they go. Sinaloa uses the fentanyl as an enhancer for its drugs, a cheap one, to make them more powerful for a small amount of money. China makes sure that a certain number of fatal doses are included in pills and things like that for their war of attrition, murdering American youth. Trump said no more this week. Enter Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum. According to Trump, the two of them had a very nice conversation on the phone, and Sheinbaum agreed that she was going to go ahead and use the Mexican military to close the southern border of this country, yes, but also of Mexico. and Trump announced victory. Sheinbaum then turned around, said the opposite to the media. No, 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 I'm not shutting down anything. The caravans will continue to roll. She even threatened to tariff America back. What's actually going on here? Why would she say one thing to Trump, which she turned around and announced, and another entirely to the media? Because she's in an impossible position. Right now, her phone is blowing up from all the CEOs, Chinese CEOs, CEOs of American corporations who built their facilities down there, their manufacturing facilities in Mexico, demanding she stop those caravans. They don't want a tariff. That will destroy everything. It would totally destroy the growing Mexican manufacturing base, most of which, by the way, is done for shipping back into America. A lot of them are American companies. But Sheinbaum's got a problem that Mexico's never had before. The cartels have become infinitely wealthy and infinitely powerful under Joe Biden, thanks to the drug and human trafficking business. And they will full on kill you if you do anything to get in the way of that business. And we've talked many times in this podcast about the 30 plus assassinations earlier this year of political candidates who were not on the cartel's payroll, as well as 70 more attempted assassinations. But that doesn't even capture how powerful the cartels have grown under Joe Biden and the Democrat Party. Go read this. It'll blow your mind. Mexico demands investigation into U.S. military-grade weapons being used by drug cartels. That's PBS. Mexico wants an urgent investigation into how U.S. military-grade weapons are increasingly being found in the hands of Mexican drug cartels. Folks, let me bottom line this for you. The Biden administration was handing the cartels these weapons. These are weapons made by U.S. corporations who are not allowed to sell them outside of the country and whose contracts stipulate they can only make them for the Pentagon. This is the Democrat Party arming the cartels so that the cartels will keep the upper hand over the Mexican military and over the Mexican political class. So they become essentially a proxy army for human trafficking and really just a strong arm army for us. It's a way we control Mexico. So Sheinbaum has a terrible, terrible choice on her hands. You could see why she told Trump one thing in a panic to appease the CEOs and then publicly said another thing. So it's literally not to get assassinated by the cartels that the evil Biden regime has armed to the teeth. And by the way, I put another link for you. I'm going to deep dive into this in another podcast next week. Look at this article, too, to understand what's happening here. Again, I'll put it at the end of the podcast. America's third war. The U.S. cut a deal with the Sinaloa cartel, says court documents. And this was under Obama. This is from 2014. Federal agents would give weapons to Sinaloa and let them traffic all the human beings and drugs they want into the country if they would inform on the other cartels. Well, they would have done that for free. They want their competition to be rounded up by our federales. No, they were building their own machinery. They were building their own international drug gangs and human trafficking rings and merging them essentially with the Democrat Party. This is my biggest fear, the merger of the cartels and the Democrat Party, that we will begin to see the political assassinations that we have seen down in Mexico that will come right over the border. So understand, Claudia Sheinbaum is terrified. She's terrified of losing her manufacturing base to Trump and his tariffs. She's also terrified literally the cartels will kill her or militarily overthrow the Mexican government as the Democrats have been arming them to do. She's in a terrible position. This is why she's telling Trump one thing on the phone and telling the U.S. mainstream media another thing entirely. No, 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 no. I'm not going to stop the caravans. She's in a terrible position. So is America. This is why you are, and it may seem bizarre, seeing these mayors and governors of these Democrat states vow to protect even convicted criminal illegal immigrants. Why? The cartels are dug in their states. It's a source of power for them that they eventually intend to turn into violent political muscle. Trust me on that. That's why they're protecting them. It's also why, and I'm so glad Trump understands this, in order to help Claudia Sheinbaum and dig out a reign of terror by the cartels in America, Trump understands and says that he intends to declare these cartels terror organizations and to come down there and assassinate them. We are going to have to murder their leadership, whole levels of the leadership. But the good news is we have the technology to do this, as you saw with the assassination of Soleimani, because otherwise we're not going to be able to bring the Mexican government to heel. We've got to show Mexican leadership, we can protect you. We will kill these cartels. It's okay to go up against them. We understand that you're outgunned right now because the Democrats have armed them. Probably even the Pentagon's armed them, honestly. It's really horrific. But we're going to have to militarily respond to this. Just using tariffs for pressure isn't enough. But it's one lever that Trump is using, the economic lever. I will break the back of your manufacturing sector. Hey, but you know, if you let us come in here and take out these cartels, you partner with us, we'll protect you, we'll kill them. And this is what it's going to take to keep the Democrat Party in partnership with the cartels from becoming the most terrifying transnational criminal organization on earth. Insane thing number three, this interview with Mark Andreessen. He's a billionaire tech guru, founder of Mosaic, the Netscape web browser, and now co-founder and general partner of Silicon Valley venture firm Andreessen Horowitz. So they back a lot of these promising Silicon Valley firms, describing to Joe Rogan how close we came to living in a Chinese-style social credit system. He's been a longtime Democrat, Democrat bundler, Democrat donor, never backed or donated to the Republicans. Well, as part of that, he was allowed to be part of, you know, tech meetings at the White House as kind of, you know, a special privilege. So he's sitting there with them and they're assuming he agrees with them. And they're openly talking about how they've debanked over 30 tech startups simply because they don't want any competition for the existing big tech companies, including social media, search engines, things like that, because they already control them. And so when somebody comes along with a promising idea, it might be AI oriented. If it's not one of theirs that they feel they already control, they simply debank them. In other words, no ability to transact business at all. And he tells Joe Rogan, over 30 people, tech startup founders, have been debanked and had their startups absolutely destroyed by the Democrat Party simply to protect existing big powerful companies like, for instance, YouTube and Google, which do the bidding of the Democrat Party, most especially through censorship. The people in the meeting, all of them Democrats too, assumed Andreessen would love this. They must have forgotten he's an investor in tech startups. Here he is describing that meeting with Joe Rogan.
The AI thing was very alarming. We had meetings this spring that were the most alarming meetings I've ever been in, where they were taking us through their plans, and it was
like, no. What kind of plan? Can you talk about it?
Basically, just full government control, like this sort of thing. There will be a small number of large companies that will be completely regulated and controlled by the government. They told us. They just said, don't even start startups. Like, don't even bother. Like, there's just no way. There's no way that they can succeed. There's no way that we're going to permit that to happen.
Wow.
Yeah, they said this is already over. It's going to be two or three companies, and we're going to control them, and that's that. Like, this is already finished.
Oh my God. Yeah. Now when you leave a meeting like that, what do?
You go endorse Donald Trump.
But Andreessen did. He not only endorsed Trump, he raised a ton of money for him. Again, total Democrat before. But when he got a look at what the Democrats had in store, which, folks, this is classic fascism. This is exactly how Nazi Germany operated. It's also exactly how China operates today. A lot of people wrongly think China is a communist regime. It was at one time, but now it is the largest fascist government on earth. If you're not a member of the Chinese Communist Party in good standing, you can't start a business. I remember one of the tech startups that was absolutely destroyed this way, Parler. I'll never forget. I had about 6,000 followers on Parler at the time. I'll never forget when it was poised to become this big alternative to Facebook and Twitter, which was then censored and controlled, by the Democrats. And it was the number one most downloaded app in the App Store that weekend, bar none. It was just taking off. When all of a sudden, Amazon announced it was kicking Parler off its servers. And the CEO of Parler came out and said, well, no big deal. We'll just, you know, we'll get new server space. And hey, wow, we're getting canceled by our bank. We're getting canceled by our email provider. He said, don't worry, though. We'll find some other ones and we'll be back in a few weeks. Go look up Parler.com. It's just a website, just a front page. They were never able to find anyone else to host them. They were never able to find anyone else to bank them. They were never able to even find an email provider, any kind of operating system. They were absolutely destroyed. Why? Because they were going to allow free speech. I guarantee you the Parler startup was one of those that was debanked. And again, if you go look at it today, I mean, it's really instructive into how this works. Parler.com is just a front page. There's nothing else there. It's all gone. This story, by the way, is essentially the same story I told you in the beginning of this podcast about Walmart. That was the way that they controlled Ford and Walmart and all of these other companies, essentially a variant of the same Chinese social credit system that relied on fear of the Democrats in power and what they might do to you. If you're a bank and they call up and say, hey, we've got this nice competitor for Google. Looks like they might be successful. They're starting up. We're going to need you to go ahead and close down their bank accounts. Make sure they have no even basic mechanism to pay their employees or transact digitally in any way. Could you go ahead and do that for us? Hey, by the way, we're calling from the Treasury. Our investigators are very interested in some other stuff you've been doing over here. But, you know, that could all go away if you just debank these individuals. Folks, this is exactly what Jamie Dimon, again, another long-term Democrat fundraiser, power titan of the Democrat Party on Wall Street, was warning about. And it made such a big deal about it. This is a guy who just months before, remember, had raised money for the Democrat Party, goes into a meeting with all the big heads of the banks on Wall Street, says, oh my gosh, we got to defeat these people, like 2 weeks before the election, because he said they were going to destroy the banking industry, that they were out of control. And he said, we can't put up with this shit anymore. I'm quoting him directly. And again, he was raising money for them. Folks, that was the level of terror that the Democrats had managed to put on these companies. And Trump's victory, at least for now, has broken that. But folks, this goes to show you how much of a battle we have ahead of us. It's not enough to just go in there and start making policy and maybe take over some federal agencies. We have to break the back of the Democrat Party or this will come roaring back. Insane thing number two. This was the week that the world came the closest ever to nuclear war that it has ever been. Yeah, when the lunatics in the swamp, the outgoing, defeated, and desperate Democrat Party decided to just start hurling some missiles into Russia to see what would happen. Now, technically, we gave these missiles to Ukraine, but as I've explained to you in the past, Russia is very clear they're not fooled by this. Ukraine doesn't have the systems, including the satellites and the targeting systems that we do that are needed to launch these weapons, which, by the way, are ours anyway. They can't even launch them without U.S. military personnel. So this is us firing weapons into Russia. Well, by the end of the week, the U.K. had joined in, and now France wants to hit Russia deep inside Russia, too. There is no time, again, that we've ever been as a civilization, as a species, this close to annihilation. And it became clear that, despite Russia's threats, we intend to hit them a couple times a week just to see how it goes. Pray to God we make it to January 20th without some kind of war we can't walk back. Trump is clearly knee-deep in this. You saw the head of NATO visit Mar-a-Lago this week. He's obviously negotiating with these lunatics, trying to stop World War III and the annihilation of the human race. But, you know, this is a swamp we're talking about. They're not only evil, they're also stupid and pretty incompetent. They look like fools on the world stage this week after Joe Biden's administration sent folks from the Pentagon out to go do interviews on these cable stations, claiming that it wasn't dangerous to hit Russia with missiles at all because they just have an aging fleet, an aging stockpile. They're not even going to be able to fire those missiles at all. You'll see. And if they do, we can shoot them down. Well, not only did Russia fire a missile of a type we've never seen before, not only did it work and hit Ukraine, we didn't manage to shoot it down. And Putin bragged that this was a new kind of missile for which the U.S. has no defense and they can hit us with it at any time. Folks, does this seem necessary to you? What's more, former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson came out and admitted something this week, something that Putin's been saying for a very long time, something that if you said it on social media or on YouTube, you'd be censored for, that Ukraine is just America's proxy army. We are at war with Russia. For the former Prime Minister of the UK to admit this, again, the guy who negotiated with Russia and Ukraine at the beginning of this conflict is massive. Again, this used to be considered Russian propaganda.
We are, Nate, let's face it, we're waging a proxy war. We're waging a proxy war, but we're not giving our proxies the ability to do the job. And for years and years now, we've been allowing them to fight with one hand tied behind their backs, and it has been cruel. It has been cruel. And we need now to give them what they need. So,
in case you wonder what that is, it's missiles with which to provoke them into a don't worry about it. They totally won't launch a nuclear war, say the people who said Russia's missiles wouldn't work and we could shoot them down anyway. Yeah, those people. Folks, pray humanity makes it through the final 50 days of the Biden regime intact and alive. Finally, insane thing number one. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Yep, new study conducted by Tucker Research finds that the average American gains 6 pounds over the holidays, and that a quarter of Americans are still carrying last year's holiday weight. Why is that? Well, 43% said they use the end of the year as an excuse to postpone eating healthy and then really never get around to doing it. If that's you, know you've got a plan waiting for you on the other side, so you're not still wearing that 10 pounds come next Thanksgiving and Christmas. Yeah, go ahead and get in touch with the people at PhD Weight Loss. They've been a wonderful sponsor for us this year, and I just thank them for sticking with this podcast and making it possible. Go ahead, contact them, schedule your appointment for January. Do what I did. I lost 29 pounds and I've kept it off for 2 years. To find out more, go to myphdweightloss.com. That's myphdweightloss.com. You can do it from any state in the nation. Tell them Tara sent you. And thank you for sponsoring the Battleground America podcast.
With Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.